You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I really want to get back to basketball, and Amin El-Hassan is really good in terms of giving his expertise, and he wants to do show with us because he's of our sensibilities, but we really value his basketball knowledge and insight around here. And yesterday was cool. We want to know what he thinks about the Heat and the Bucks, and if that's going to be any different, because I think he's going to predict the Heat again. What do you think, Mike?
Rumor has it he's no longer the mayor of Heat Island.
Oh, okay. So, but play his music that we wrestled away, please, from ESPN to bring him back in because I wanted to follow him everywhere.
Time to talk basketball. Amino's basketball. LCU basketball. Expert in basketball.
So I've got a bunch of different questions. Chris Webber fired. Kwame Brown, we didn't appreciate his screens enough. We have to talk about a number of different things, but I'm sorry. I mean, hold on just a second. I'm being told that, this is happening again now? Really? I thought the bit had died. Kenny Mayne is with us again, giving us updates from the golf course with newfound freedom. I thought we agreed that it didn't go right the last time and we had overplayed our hand.
No, I remember in football, if you failed on a play that you know should have succeeded, you come right back to it, and you just try again. So I'm at TPC River Highlands. Deaver, my friend, producer, off the plane. He landed at 9 or 10, 15, whatever. He's here. He's ready to golf. We're 7 minutes away, TPC River Highlands. My game is more of an essay, really, than an numerical achievement, or you know what I'm saying? Like the next gen guys are always hyping quarterbacks who run all over the field, so why can't I get – you know, the same kind of respect if I'm all over the course. I don't care. I'm just here. We're dying again. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Just stay with it. Stay. Give the ball to Marshawn over and over and just try to get to that damn goal line. What's your question?
You had, you had a lot of time to come up with better material. You had a lot of time the bit failed. You want to rescue the bit. You're leaving ESPN. They just kicked you out. You left very gracefully, and this is what you're going to do with your freedom? You're going to run the bit in the ground?
Well, no. I'm looking at, in my contract, May is the month I could talk to other companies, so I'm just doing it publicly. I want to be judging my whole career to begin with, but LA Times, check it out. I'm my own hype man. I'm my own agent. I'm my own publicist. Broadway Danny Rose, not available. Tom Cruise, not available. But I would have a guy like Jerry Maguire if I had an agent. It would be that kind of guy. Show me the money!
What happened with the LA Times? They had a feature on you? They wrote about your illustrious career?
No, I wrote it. John Walsh, the exalted ruler of ESPN from years back, gave me a sweet phone call. We had a great talk. I was touched by all the people that reached out, you guys included. And he said, you ought to just write your own story. Everybody's writing stories about you. Why don't you write your own? So when I finally had 90 minutes of air Saturday morning, I just did it and sent it. And the LA Times said yes.
And was it as rambling as these drop-ins?
I mean, it's totally
that's poor form.
It's poor form. It is poor form. But Amin's getting cocky and he deserves it because we've been disrespectful for him. Are you now at the tee? Are you going to tee off or – are you just calling us?
You told me to call. It's your idea. I mean, I was just going to go play, but you said, no, call. Here's the number. Call in and just say golf update, which is what I did. By the way, I want to thank you, and I want to ask you, I didn't want to forget this, what's your favorite charity, foundation, cause? What do you care about?
Well, we're working on a couple of different things. Right now, Ron McGill, his substantive endowment for the animals is something. What is happening now? What is happening now?
Well, tell me, the reason I'm asking you is I want to gift you and thank you because on your show, I dropped the name of a sponsor that I was pitching for a commercial, and they said yes, and we're shooting it next week. So even before I'm kicked out, I already have new work. I'm not bragging about it. I am in business to make commercials. Why wouldn't I say that out loud? Commercial companies say it out loud. Doesn't Wieden Kennedy say out loud, we make commercials? Why the hell can't I do it? I just did.
Okay, that's what he's doing with the freedom, ladies and gentlemen. A blossoming career all ahead of him from the golf course. Thank you, Kenny, for joining us.
Thank you for my life.
Did he take a shot or no?
Shot of what?
Thank you. Thank you. Flawless segue. Are you as amazed as I am that Tony Snell hasn't missed a foul shot in more than 2 years?
I'm amazed that he's taken a foul shot in more than 2 years. Tony Snell's still in the league?
Really? Really? That's not right. You do that to people? I thought you respected everybody who was in the league.
Well, you know, this is a big weekend for respecting people in the league. I don't know if you followed along with the whole Kwame Brown, Gilbert Arenas, Steven Jackson brouhaha that erupted over Instagram. Man, my mentions were going crazy. All these people said, you see this? You see what he said about your guy's stat?
Well, tell us what happened there, because all I saw is one clip of Kwame Brown just saying that we were entitled for not appreciating his screens, and somebody made a comment to him and he took it seriously. Congratulations on scoring a combined 82 points with Kobe Bryant in that 81 point game. And he got indignant about it. Is that where that started?
No, it started, I guess Jeannie Buss was on All the Smoke, which is the podcast that Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes do. It's a very successful podcast. And she was talking about the Pau Gasol trade. And she mentioned Kwame Brown's name as one of the pieces that went out. And I guess Stack and Matt Barnes had a little chuckle at Kwame's expense. And so there was that. And then in a separate episode, Gilbert Arenas was a guest. And he talked about Kwame Brown. And based on what Gilbert is saying, he tried to put a positive spin on it. And that he was a good guy. And he had the confidence kind of browbeaten out of him by multiple people over the years. And Kwame just took a lot of, I guess, umbrage to the stuff that was said about him. And he went off and he said, hey, you know, you guys are supposed to be all pro black and pro this and pro that, but here you are tearing me down. What I heard, Dan, was the voice of someone who clearly, like all the jokes and the stuff over the years, weighed on him. And he just kind of reached his breaking point.
It was sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like your typical, oh, and then he called him this, and then he called him that. It was more of, man, this is a dude who's in pain in some form and kind of just wants to be left alone. And instead, you know, he feels like he becomes the butt of another joke once again.
Well, the name has been, right? The name has been a punchline for a long time because Michael Jordan drafted him physically. He was amazing. And he's a historic bust. Of course, that's going to be something that haunts someone who works all their life to be great at something. And you associate the name Kwame Brown with laughter.
Yeah. And, you know, Dan, there was a story that someone wrote about him. This might have been like 15 years ago now. But he was a really sheltered kid. He was from a small town in Georgia. And when he made the NBA, the leap from high school to the pros, the infrastructure around drafting rookies at the time was a lot thinner than it is now. This was a guy who needed his hand held, right? There's a story in there where he's supposed to go to an appearance. He doesn't make the appearance. And his agent is called and says, hey, we can't find Kwame. So he goes over to Kwame's apartment and he says, why didn't you make the appearance? I don't have any clean clothes. So what happened to the clothes that we got you? And he opens the closet and they're all like worn and crumpled on the ground. He said, why don't you just take them to the cleaners? And Kwame said, I don't know how. And you know, it's easy to hear that story and laugh like, oh, what kind of idiot doesn't know how to use cleaners? But like, this is, again, this is a kid grew up one of like seven kids, single mom. She worked all the time. From a small town in Georgia, humble background. He didn't have a lot of world experience. And the Washington Wizards said, here's millions of dollars. Go be a grown man without any help or guidance or anything like that. And so you hear those stories and you figure out, like, this is a guy that, imagine your idol. Dan, who's your idol? Who's the guy that you look up to more than anybody in your industry?
In our industry, I'm going to have to think about that for
even
minute.
When you were younger. Mad Dog Russo? It's going to be someone you passed over now. Right. But
Charlie Pierce
for you, Dan?
Greg Cody.
Oh.
Greg Cody. Okay, so imagine 18-year-old Dan Le Batard gets to work with Greg Cody. And Greg Cody isn't the Greg Cody we know and love right now. Everyone knows and loves Greg Cody. He's funny. He's great. But in practice, in private, when you meet him, he's calling you names. He's questioning your manhood. He's browbeating you. He's bullying you. Turns out Greg Cody behind closed doors is an absolute monster. What would that do to you? Would that make you a better journalist? Probably not. Like, this is a guy you had his poster on the wall probably a year ago. Now you realize, oh, he's a monster. And that's what happened to Kwame Brown.
Because Michael Jordan was trying to toughen him up.
I don't even know. I mean, maybe. Or maybe that's just Michael Jordan, right? Was he trying to toughen up Steve Kerr when he punched him? Or was he just being Michael Jordan? This thing that we've done with Jordan over the years where we ascribe like some sort of ulterior motive to him being an asshole instead of just saying he's an asshole. There's no like mysticism behind it or I was trying to get the best out of you. He's just an asshole. He's also a great basketball player, probably the greatest of all time. And no one's going to take that away from him, but we also have to acknowledge not everything he did was like, oh, because he's trying to build you up or because this is in your best interest or because he's a good dude. Sometimes, no, he was just being an asshole.
But I mean, that television commercial that we did at ESPN over that Nike commercial that we did with his fingerprints all over it was not titled, he's an asshole.
Dan, it's one of my favorite things. Go back, forget about The Last Dance. Think about his Hall of Fame enshrinement as we're coming off of Hall of Fame weekend here. He gave this speech that was uncharacteristically mean as far as Hall of Fame ceremonies go. But anyone who knew Michael Jordan was like, oh, yeah, that's Mike. That's like, well, none of us were shocked. We were like, yeah, he's being himself right there. But so many people, that was the first time they saw what kind of guy he was. I mean, think about this. Michael Jordan famously got cut on his sophomore team or whatever, sophomore year from his high school team. He wasn't really cut. The story is a lot less salacious, right? But let's just take his side of it, right? He got cut, and the last cut on the team was this guy named Leroy something or other. Guy, you know, high school player goes on, does whatever career he has in life that has nothing to do with sports and living in North Carolina somewhere. Michael Jordan picks up the phone, says, Leroy, remember? Hey, Mike, it's been so many years. I said, yeah, hey, man, I'm getting enshrined in the Hall of Fame. I want you to be there. What? Yeah, flies him out, gets some tickets to the event. By the way, those tickets are not cheap. I had to pay for it when I went to the Steve Nash, Ray Allen, Jason Kidd year. Pays him tickets, great seating towards the stage. Guy's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you remember me all these years, whatever. Mike gets up there, and in the middle of his speech, he says, Leroy, they cut me for your sorry ass. He did it just like as a comic prop. He used him as a bit. And again, in my mind, I'm like, that's Mike. But so many people are like, oh, my gosh, what happened to sometimes I dream that he is me?
What do you do with Kevin Garnett making given the two guys you're talking about there and Michael Jordan and Kwame Brown? Kevin Garnett was an unusual character who somehow managed to navigate that whole high school, not knowing anything infrastructure, do it before anyone else and got to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think, first of all, we should never judge people by the exception, right? If he's the exception, we don't say, see, anyone can do it. We say, wow, it's like, remember when Charles Barkley was the big thing and everyone wanted a 6'5 power forward? And say, oh, what Charles Barkley does is like, yeah, because he's one of the greatest players of all time, not because 6'5 power forward is actually a thing to have in the 90s. So similarly, KG is an exception. Kobe is an exception. Those guys are incredibly tough-minded people who – KG had been worldly because remember, he's from South Carolina. He's not from Chicago. He moved to Chicago to go to a bigger school, a better school, to get more exposure basketball-wise. Same thing with Kobe. It's a guy who lived in Italy, whose father is a professional athlete. So there's things in these people's backgrounds that maybe prepare them better for these rigors. And at the same time, I think there's also a level of, yeah, he's a great player. It's easier on you when you're a great player. Kwame Brown probably wasn't going to be a great player. He could have been better, I think, but maybe he wasn't going to be a great player. And people's patience runs shorter with less talent.
Two guys here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I mean, if the Jazz make it to the NBA Finals, or because plenty of people are going to be surprised, but I'm not certain we should be surprised when you consider they're the best scoring offense in the Western Conference, and they have the second best team defense in the Western Conference. But people don't want to see Utah there, and they don't think Utah is going to get there. Why?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. They don't want to see Utah. That one's pretty clear. It's a ratings thing. Like LeBron said at the All-Star draft, right? No one in the history of video games ever said, I'm playing with the Jazz. It is what it is. Right? Yep. You got to go with that, right? Mm-hmm. As far as why they probably won't make the finals, Stugatz, it's really until we find out whether they figured out how to not let Rudy Gobert get game planned out of playoff series. That's happened their last three or four trips. They lose series because the other team figured out a way to make Rudy Gobert less effective than he usually is. And that's either playing him off the floor or just pulling him away from under the basket. That's why, by the way, for Defensive Player of the Year, my pick is Ben Simmons. Or even Bam Adebayo, I think, would be top two for me before Rudy Gobert, because Rudy's defense is rooted in you want to get to the rim and I make it hard for you there. He does that elite. He is the best in the league at that. The problem is when you get to the playoffs, better teams and better strategies. So you got players like Nikola Jokic who are going to operate from 23 feet, not because that's all he can do, but because he knows Rudy's got to come out here and see me. And if he doesn't, if he sags off of me, I can make this shot. Or we can run high pick and rolls for my guards who will feast on the space that he gives when he goes into drop coverage. These are all problems the Jazz have to address. They haven't addressed it over the last couple of years. Maybe they do this year. I don't know. But until I see them do differently, I'm going to go with, yeah, I don't think they're going to make it out of the West.
With lockout seasons and last year's bubble, we've seen teams kind of enter the playoffs hitting their stride a little bit, but at lower seeds. We saw this 22 years ago when the eighth-seeded Knicks knocked off the Heat. Are we going to see a lot of upsets just in seeding? Because, as you mentioned earlier in the show, the Lakers are the title favorite, despite the fact that they're playing in the playing games. Can there be more upsets because of how this season was impacted with COVID protocol?
Yes and no. So I look at, obviously, we look at the Lakers as a prime candidate. The other team, I would say, out east is the Wizards, right? The Wizards are clearly not an eighth seed. And that was something Dan, you brought up my appearance on the show months ago when I said, look, the Thunder are really bad. I don't care what their record is. The net rating is telling me that they're really bad. I believe in that same show, I said, the Wizards aren't this bad. They're actually good. They've lost a handful of games because of dumb mistakes at the end, but I think they'll figure it out. And then COVID hit them, and then Russ got hurt, and then Beal got hurt, and is Beal going to get traded? Does he want to be here? Does he not want to be here? And what ended up happening was they got healthy, and they started winning, and they went from 13th or 14th in the conference to finishing up 8th, which even a couple weeks ago seemed unlikely. Now, the problem is, if you are, first of all, if you're the Celtics, you're probably going to lose that play-in game. No Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics have been playing like trash lately. But then if you're the two seed, which is the Nets, this is not the team you wanted. Least of all, Russell Westbrook going up against Kevin Durant, a guy that he famously doesn't feel great about.
And Harden.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's bad blood there. I forgot about that.
That play in the Nets game yesterday, was it the best play, single play you have seen this season? They looked like the Globetrotters.
Now, look, it was fun, and they played 8 games together, those 3 guys. This is exactly what we want to see, but I think it gets harder from here, right? Because now you're going to play, again, motivated teams, good teams, well-coached teams, and we'll see how they do. No, the best play this year for me by far was the Steph Curry left-handed 4-point play. He got fouled and he was like, oh, the only way I get this shot up is with my left hand. Whoop. And he hits the shot. And it's just like, that's how you know. You asked me earlier, Dan, how have we never seen anything like this? That's how you know you've never seen anything like this guy.
I really feel like we let Mike skate with that question that was in camouflage. It was disguised, asking about upsets. Are we going to see an upset champion this year? As if he thought he was in good disguise there. Can the 6th-seeded Heat win the title because of disease?
I like because of disease. The thing about the Heat this year versus last year is the path is much harder. If the Heat were the 5-seed, right, I would have felt a lot more comfortable because they would have played Atlanta in the first round. Atlanta's young. This is their first time in the playoffs. So that would have been, I think, an easy win for the Heat. Then they play the Sixers. And the Sixers, I think, are a team that is intimidated by Miami. I don't think there's a whole lot of, yeah, we're the top dog here and you guys are the underdog. I think there's an intimidation factor there. The problem now is you're playing Milwaukee, which is 2 things. One, they're motivated after they were embarrassed last year. But 2, they're better. They're a lot better than they were last year. It's different. The addition of Jrue Holiday, addition of some of the other, P.J. Tucker, Bobby Portis, this is a much deeper team, and they're able to play differently. So we talked about the Jazz not adjusting, and that's why they've been bounced out. The Bucks have been the same story in the East, but now Jrue Holiday allows you to take Giannis off ball. And now when he's roaming off ball, it's harder to load up on him because he's moving around and there are other things they got to worry about. I think this is going to be a tough series for them. And the reward, if you beat them, is you got to go face the Brooklyn Nets, who probably will be fully healthy by then. It's just a landmine after landmine after landmine. You're saying, we're going to win a championship. We're going Bucks in the first round, Nets in the second round, Sixers in the conference finals, and then either the Lakers or the Jazz, whoever, in the finals. That is a very uphill battle. It's a reason why it's only happened once in the history of the NBA where a team went on the road, won 4 straight series against teams that were 50 wins or better, and that was the 95 Houston Rockets.
It's a weird thing to say, I mean, because the Bucks were so good during the regular season last year, because they had that historic point differential most of the season. We were talking about, can they win 70 games? And the Heat took them out in 5 games and made it look easy. And yet I can make the argument that the improvements in Milwaukee make them the team that the Heat would like to see the least, because at least with the Nets and the Sixers, they might feel like, well, the Nets haven't played together at all. And the Sixers, we have that advantage over them. So Jimmy will be out here saying we're not afraid of the Bucks at all, but they kind of should be.
Yeah, no. And this team is better than it was last year. I think most people, because of the success of the Jazz and the Suns and the Sixers and all these other teams, the fact that the Bucks are a much better team this year than they were last year or the year before, I think has flown under the radar. And then again, you didn't just beat them last year, you embarrassed them. And these are prideful guys. Giannis is a very prideful guy. So I think that gives an added element of degree of difficulty. It's okay to say you're not afraid, but that's like saying I'm not afraid to take the stairs when the elevator is out. Yeah, but I'd rather the elevator not be out. I don't want to take the stairs. I'll do it, but I don't want to.
The Knicks. That's my question.
Oh, Stu Gatz. Let me tell you, if anybody benefited by the way the games shook out yesterday, it was the Knicks. You get to have home court advantage, and you're playing against a team like you who hasn't been to the rodeo before. the vast majority of the Atlanta Hawks. This is their first time doing this. Same thing with the Knicks. So if you're going to be faced up against someone, you want someone just as inexperienced as you are. I think the Knicks have a more defined playing style. They're a much better defensive team. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. They're grittier. And Julius Randle has been playing MVP caliber. I was on, like I said, on Hoopstream yesterday. Kendrick Perkins said Jokic is MVP, but number two on his ballot is Julius Randle. I don't know if I go as far as Perk there, but Julius Randle absolutely.
So bad.
Absolutely been balling out. So, yeah, I think the Knicks are going to win a series, Stugatz. They're going to win a
look at that, first Stugatz.
Round. Oh, this is so exciting.
And the Heat might not get out of the first round. So, New York is for the first time in 20 years.
I am so throwing a parade.
Wait a second. The Knicks almost lost yesterday against the Celtics bench players at home to clinch the at-home fourth seed in the playoffs. Stugatz, you had to have been worried at the end of that game.
Listen, when you haven't been good in nearly two decades, even if they lost that game, this season has been the best season of my lifetime. I am good, Smetty. Don't try to rain on my parade.
It's amazing to me how many Knicks fans don't share that very, very well-reasoned take that you have. There's like, look, this is already great. No matter what happens, we won. Yeah. We did it. We're not a laughingstock. The group chat that I'm in with my friends and my cousins, and it's so insane in there that it's already like all the expectations that the season started with are gone. And now it's like, well, if we don't at least get to the conference finals, this is going to be a disaster of a season. And what are you talking about? Who are you to have expectations?
It's so Knicks fan, isn't it? Like the idea that
I'll get greedier as this postseason goes on.
It has been 20 years since we looked at a series in the playoffs that the Knicks were playing in and said, yeah, maybe they should win that. Maybe they should beat the Hawks. But wasn't Stugatz just arguing earlier today that the Hawks are actually very good? That the Hawks, if you want, what the Hawks have been since they changed coaches is better than what the Knicks have been all season.
Well, what they've been, I mean, is 27-10 since Nate McMillan took over as the head coach. And the Hawks are healthy. Trae Young was hurt, but they're healthy now. And so I'm afraid of the Hawks, but I'm a Knicks fan. I'm afraid of any team, you know?
I like that. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm afraid of any team. No, the Hawks are better. They have been better, and particularly on the defensive end under Nate McMillan. But I think at the end of the day, you're still looking at who are the guys on that team with playoff experience. Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah.
A cup of coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clint Capella.
He's got a lot of it.
Right? But like Clint Capella as a kind of blue-collar guy.
Right. Right.
Who else? I'm missing one more person, but it's not extensive, right? With the Knicks, you're in a similar situation. The big difference is Derrick Rose plays a lot, has the ball in his hands, and has been through it. And sometimes that's all it takes. When the talent gap isn't large, man, the experience really kicks in. A couple of years ago, Denver in the first round played against San Antonio, and they were so much better than the Spurs. It wasn't even close. But it went to seven. Because the Spurs had all that experience on their side, and they can make that talent gap shrink. But at some point, the Nuggets were just better. That's not the case here. I would say the Hawks and the Knicks, regardless of how you rank them, who's better, it's still comparable. And so that experience, I think, is going to carry the Knicks through.
I mean, good talking to you. Thank you. I did want to get to you before you left, though. Chris Webber, you got any thoughts there? You got anything? They fired him right before the postseason, which is weird.
Well, first of all, I'm going to congratulate Chris Webber on finally getting into the Hall of Fame. It's a joke that he hasn't been in the Hall of Fame because of whatever secret voting process that we have in basketball. We need to change that. The people's names need to be on these ballots, and the ballots need to be published. So we know why. Why did you feel like Chris Webber, who at one point, when you say the best power forward in the game, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, Chris Webber was right there, and he wasn't number four on that list. He was right there with that. So congratulations to C-Web. Much delayed, but finally you're in there. As far as him getting let go, this is one of those things, Dan. I wonder if you wonder this too. Does social media play a role in how these companies are doing decisions? Because Chris Webber is one of the guys who gets a lot of heat on Twitter. People are like, oh my God, this guy's terrible, blah, blah, blah. But I've never listened to Chris Webber and felt like he was overtly bad. I agree with everything he said, but I thought he was a decent commentator, and I know he's a really smart basketball guy. I've heard him talk kind of off air about, you know, breaking down the triangle offense and all these things. He's a really brilliant basketball mind, but I just feel like for them to let him go at this juncture, it had to be something along the lines of like, well, Twitter says he's not good, ipso facto.
Man, that'd be a bummer, but that would make sense too, because TV executives are always easily influenced like that. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel told us that they sat around worried about what Rudy Martsky was going to write in USA Today. Like, they've got so few people.
What a great name.
They've got so few people where they would get public opinion on, and now everybody's got an opinion, and Chris Webber's not one of the popular guys.
Is Rudy Martsky, could he have had any other career other than critic? Like, no. That's just like a critic name.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Could Rudy Martsky have had any other career other than television critic based on only his name? Thank you, Amin. I don't know how many of the people listening to this or even how many of the people around here are old enough to know why the name Ricky Schroeder means something. Roy is an old head, but I don't know how much experience he has with the show Silver Spoons.
Silver Spoons, buddy.
Yeah. The best.
Okay, you say the best, but have you seen or heard anything going on recently with Ricky Schroeder? Because it is decidedly not the best.
I haven't thought about Ricky Schroeder since that show. I mean,
okay, well, I'm about to tell you some stories involving Ricky Schroeder that are a bit disturbing, because this weekend at Costco, he was one of those people embarrassing someone, yelling about masks and stuff. And so we've arrived at a life imitating art portion of the proceedings, where a guy literally from Silver Spoons, because the show couldn't be called White Privilege, is one of the people on the side of a guy famous for having a toy train in his house and just being obnoxiously rich and entitled. That was the role as a child. It's the last role, I think. I think most people only associate him with that role.
I think he went to like NYPD Blue for a little bit and people took him seriously for like a cup of coffee.
Did they? He went, put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Did Ricky Schroeder go to NYCPD Blue for a cup of coffee? Because I don't actually remember that.
It's NYPD Blue. That's a fine.
Okay, thank you. So I don't remember him from that, but he
Detective Danny Sorensen on NYPD Blue.
Yeah,
58 episodes.
I believe it was after Jimmy Smits.
Thank you, Roy. So what do you remember about Ricky Schroeder?
I remember the same things that you remember outside of the cup of coffee you had on NYCPD Blue. What I remember is him being a spoiled little kid who had a train in his house. That's it. But I was so jealous of him, and I wanted to be him. I wanted that train. I wanted to be in that mansion. And I love my dad, but I wanted that dad to be my dad. He spoiled the hell out of Ricky.
Okay, but the problem with all of this is that recently he helped bail out the Wisconsin shooter. Like, he donated bond. It's not just running around being guy who yells about a mask. I'm genuinely curious about what side are you on when you're helping that shooter with bond? Like, what are you fighting for? The ability for a kid with a gun to shoot black people? Like, what, honestly, like, what do you stand for when you're coming from Silver Spoons? And it's not arguing about masks and science, but you're actually helping. Like, what's the statement you're trying to make with being a part of the bond for somebody who was walking around with an automatic weapon just randomly killing people?
Clear and evidently, he might be standing for white supremacy, Dan. Just assuming.
It's a fair assumption to make, right? Like, once you're putting the bond on that, once you're coming from Silver Spoons to that, and you're somebody who yells about masks, like, does anyone else look at Ricky Schroeder and just drop their head in shame? Like, what happened to you, young man? Was it the Silver Spoon? Was it the train in your house? Was it the child stardom? Like, what are you fighting for when you're using some of that money from 8 episodes of NYPCD Blue? You're using that money. That's your charitable cause.
I think Roy identified what it is you're fighting for very well.
But can you even argue otherwise? Is there a way to... Are there argument to be made if we, like, said to Ricky Schroeder, hey, like, what's your platform? Is it just killing black people? Like, what you're donating this money to what?
I wonder how Alfonso Ribeiro feels about this, you know, his Silver Spoons castmate there. He's probably not happy about what's been going on in Ricky Schroeder's life.
Why didn't we ask him that question when he was on with us?
This wasn't a story yet, I don't think.
Yeah, Costco is this week.
Yeah. He wasn't allowed to go to Costco.
But I think, I actually think the helping with the bond story was a story then.
You say so. First I'm hearing of it.
I apologize for not forcing Ricky Schroeder into the show prior to.
It's wasn't really... Alfonso supposed to join us the next day? Because yeah. It's been a minute and he hasn't been back on.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
He still has the number. The number's still working. Alfonso, if you can hear us, just know that we're sorry.
I don't know who any of these people are.
Oh, Jesus, I feel old, Smitty.
Dugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.